patient and slow to anger. And you also give us your word, because we would never find you by ourselves. Lord, we know that our hearts desire to worship something, and usually, Lord, it's something we have made up. So we thank you that you speak to us in the scriptures, and we know that to worship you, the living and the true God, through Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Lord, send your spirit to refresh and bring your word with power and conviction to our hearts and minds today. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Ladies, imagine being 90 years old, and then imagine having a baby at 90 years old. Now, I'm not 90 years old, but the thought of having a baby, well, my wife having a baby, should I say, even at my age, would make me a little bit anxious. And you imagine, guys, if you were 100 years old, it's hard for us to imagine being 100 years old, just imagine you're 80 or something like that, today's terms, and your wife was having a baby. But imagine that that is the way it's supposed to be. That is God's plan. God has said to you, that's what's going to happen. You're going to have a baby at 90 years old, and Abraham, you're going to be 100 years old. And that is all part of God's plan. Well, that's what we see here in this account, this story that we've been going through. We've been looking at the life of Abraham, I guess since Genesis chapter 12, where God calls Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees and says, Abraham, come out from your family and from your father's family, from your land that you've known, and I'm going to make you into a great nation. I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless all the people of the world through you. And you are going to become, in and of yourself, a great nation. Now think about that. It was 25 years ago that God had said that. Now, if somebody had made me a promise 25 years ago, I don't know, I probably would have forgotten it by now, or just written it off, just said, well, you know, they said to me 25 years ago, even 5 years ago, I probably would have said, well, they said they're going to do that. So that's 5 years ago. I don't think it's going to happen. They're not going to do it. Forget about it. Get over it, Jeff, you know. So 25 years later, they're still there. And they've tried, you know, they've tried to take matters into their own hands, need a baby, do this, we'll do that, we'll do, you know. And each time, of course, they've fallen on their face. And it's caused problems. Each time they've tried to find a way to make that promise. And of course, they've created problems that are not going to go away, and that even in the midst of the blessing, it are going to come back to them. So 25 years after the initial promise, God comes and he gives the child that he's promised, this child called Isaac. And we know that from Abraham through Isaac and through the descendants of Abraham and Isaac, all the nations of the earth are blessed today, because by faith we are the children of Abraham. And so just today I want us to look at this. I want to look at this. One of the themes that runs through this passage is the theme of laughing, all right? This is about laughing. Now, this is not crazy laughing, if you remember back in the mid-90s where there was the so-called laughing revival. Mari and I went to a meeting. We said, we better find out about this. And there was just people falling around laughing at nothing. And we were like, these people are mad, you know. Let's get out of here. But the rooms were full. And no, this is not like that. And there's ways that... This is about laughing, and I guess I'll think about it in three ways. First way is we can laugh with God, or we can laugh. Secondly, we can laugh at God. You better note these down, Mark, because I'll probably forget by the time I get around there. We can laugh with God. We can laugh at God, but finally, God will have the last laugh. Okay. So Isaac, his name means what? Laughter, and so we have this choice of laughing with God, which is what Abraham and Isaac do. Laughing with God, the joy of a promise fulfilled in verses 1 to 6. The joy of a promise fulfilled. Notice how God does this. God comes and delivers in the midst of laughter, he comes and delivers at the right time and in the right way. Notice how the story begins. In verse 1 of 21, it says, "Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised," or as he had said, "and Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at," what? "At the very time that God had promised." So this, there's no doubt about this. God had said, he'd made a promise, and a baby is born at the time that God has promised, okay? Not when she was 65 or anything like that. He'd said, it's going to be, this is the time. You're 90 years old. So she becomes pregnant, she has a baby, she gives birth at the very time that God had promised. And how long did it take? As I said, it took 25 years. Now you can imagine for Abraham and Sarah, 25 years, it probably would have felt like it was too late. It would have felt like it was way overdue. But Moses makes it clear that this was precisely the time that it was supposed to be. It reminds me, there's a, if you remember the Lord of the Rings movies, and Gandalf turns up in Hobbiton for Bilbo Baggins's birthday, his 111st birthday, and they say, "Gandalf, you're late," and Gandalf said, "A wizard is never too early, he's never too late, he always arrives precisely at the right time." Okay, God always comes through at precisely the right time. And it's the same for you and I. You know, if you and I are waiting for something, maybe it is the birth of a child, I don't know. Maybe it is for the healing of a loved one, or the help and the health of a loved one. Or maybe it is, as Jesse was sharing before, for a job, you know, for work. And there may be others of you in that same situation. Or maybe it is for someone you love and care about deeply, for them to come and know the Lord Jesus, and you've prayed for them. So you've prayed for a child, or you've prayed for a job, or you've prayed and you're praying for someone you love to come and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, for someone to be saved. And you might have felt that you've been doing it for so long. And I know people have been in this situation. I've been praying for so long, for so long, for so long. And it's kind of like, well, I don't think it's going to happen. So I kind of give up. I stop praying because maybe it's not going to happen. And here we see, we should be encouraged, because Abraham and Sarah, it was 25 years. And they trusted most of the time. Sometimes they didn't trust. And you and I, we're going to find it hard. There'll be difficulties. You know, you're going to wonder and say, God, where are you? I thought you were going to be there for me. God, I thought you were going to help me. God, I thought you were going to do these things. I thought you wanted people to be saved and come to know you and love you. And here's a reminder, isn't it? It's best to wait with God and laugh with him, isn't it? It's best to wait with God. And to enjoy that when he comes through and he meets those promises, he fulfills those promises, as it says here, as he had said, and laugh with God. And it's interesting to see how Abraham responds, isn't it? You know, sometimes when we're in a point of desperation, I don't know if you've ever done this, I've done this, I can't think of, I should think harder to think of a specific example, but when you've said, you know, you're really desperate, and you're really praying for something. And what do? You say to something like this to God. You go, God, if you do this for me, if you do this for me, I promise you that I will, okay, I will do this for you. I will dedicate my life, or I will give something to you, or I will, you know, I will spend every Monday, I don't know, serving at Breakfast Club or whatever. I don't know what it might be. Okay. And we kind of make this bargain, but you know, sometimes it's, now I'm not recommending we always do that, but in the Bible you do have people who do that, you know, you have Jacob. He does that kind of stuff. But what is it about Abraham here? You know, God had said to him, I'm going to bless you, Abraham, and I'm going to give you children, and I want you and every male child of yours, when they are born, to be circumcised on the eighth day. And one of the things we read about here, you notice as you follow through the story, the child was born, verse 3, Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son, and when his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God had commanded him. Abraham doesn't delay, does he? He acts on his side of the bargain. He gets out there. He fulfills his promises to God. God keeps his promises to Abraham, and Abraham doesn't forget to keep his promises to God. He obeys God. And it really shows us the heart of Abraham, doesn't it? Shows us what he is like. Shows us the nature of the man. I don't know. I mean, he could have said, I've waited 25 years for a child. I've waited 25 years for a son. And now I've got this little baby in my arms. And seriously, God, you're wanting me to have him circumcised? He's only 8 days old. But Abraham does that, doesn't he? He takes the child and has him circumcised, Isaac. Here is a man of faith. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when God calls us, and it's been a long time, and we kind of forget what it's all about. As Christians, we can actually forget why we're here and what we're supposed to be doing. And, you know, why am I walking with the Lord? It's been such a long time. It was 10 years ago. It was 20 years ago. It was 25, 30, 45 years ago. And we sort of think, well, maybe the purpose in life is for me to get through life and the easiest way possible, the most comfortable way to avoid the most difficulties in my life, and hopefully to die in my sleep peacefully one night. But actually that's not it, is it? God has called Abraham to come out and to walk before him and to be obedient and to do the things and to do the difficult things. Leave your homeland, leave your family, trust and to wait and to wait and to wait for 25 years. And then when you have finally you have a baby in your arms, to dedicate that child to the Lord at 8 days old in obedience to God. In obedience to God. And isn't it, think of Sarah too. See how she responds. Verse 6, and Sarah said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. And she added, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children, yet I have borne him a son in his old age. Now, of course, she's referring to something, isn't she? And if you go back in the story a little bit earlier, when God visited Abraham and Sarah, remember that? And they said, you're going to have a child this time next year, you're going to have a child. And Sarah was, I don't know, she was eavesdropping a bit. It's probably not that hard to do in a tent, I suppose. She was listening. Now, Sarah was listening in at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him, and Abraham and Sarah already old. Verse 12, so Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, after I'm worn out, my master is old, will I now have this pleasure? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And Sarah was afraid, so she lied and she said, I did not laugh. And he said, yes, you did laugh. Okay. Why did Sarah laugh? She just thought it was ridiculous. So it was kind of like it was a laugh of unbelief, and just, you know, it just seemed impossible to her. It seemed like a joke. Okay. That's why she laughed then. But now, what a godly woman she is. She comes back to the point and she says, yeah, I'm laughing now. And people are going to laugh with me, and people are probably going to even have a bit of a laugh at me, but I don't care. I'm just so happy because I'm laughing with the Lord. I'm not laughing at God. Yes, I laughed at God before. Yes, I thought it was a bit ridiculous when they come and said, you're going to have a baby. It just seemed crazy to me. Just ridiculous, you know. What a joke. But now she owns up to that, and she acknowledges that. And whereas before she was laughing behind the tent, now she in the tent door, now she's laughing as she holds this baby. And of course, the baby's name means laughter, Isaac. And she laughs for joy, and others will laugh with her, and they'll have a laugh about her. And it's a great thing, this, isn't it, to remind us. So, you know, we can choose to laugh. You know, what are we going to do? We're going to laugh with God. When God surprises us, when God comes through and delivers on those promises that he made to us, when you trusted in the Lord and you said, Lord, I believe that you're able to do this. You're able to bring my husband or my wife or my child to you, to bring my husband to know and love you, or to bring my child who's gone off the rails. They'll come back to you, and it seemed impossible. And they seemed so far away from you. And it looked to me like they would never seek you, but now they want to know all about you. Now they are coming to me, and they want to have God talk with me. And now that mate at work that I've been praying with for so many years, he just wants to talk about the Lord, or he's now going to church. So when was the last time you laughed at the goodness and faithfulness of God? I guess we don't tend to laugh much because of this, folks. When we walk by sight, when we walk, have everything under our own control, when life is kind of good, everything is going as according to plan. Job, kids are lined up, they're all walking in this way, doing the right thing. Schooling's going good, you know, go to those teacher interviews and the happy teacher interviews. Your child is a delight to work with. I love having your child in my class, you know. And when everything is going like that, and, you know, you and your spouse are loving each other and communicating, and you've got money in the bank, and your house is not falling down, you know, how everything is well maintained. And there's a sense in which, what do you do? Where do you take pleasure? You take pleasure in yourself, don't you? You take pleasure in your own achievements, and you laugh with yourself, as it were. But here we see Abraham and Sarah, it was impossible, and now they're laughing with God. Now they're laughing with the Lord. And it's often when we're stressed and we are anxious and we don't know what the future is going to be, we don't know how our health is going to hold up this winter time or over summer, when we kind of feel out of our depth, when work is just like, you know, weighing down on us, and we're thinking, I don't know how I'm going to meet my deadlines for the week, or I don't know how I'm going to cope with all the demands and the stresses that are placed upon me, and I dread going to school to get my kids because the teacher wants to pull me aside and have a word to be me about my child's behavior or something like that. Or when we're having trouble in the home, and when, you know, kids are not doing what they're supposed to do and they're being grumpy and rebellious, and when our relationship is under strain, and we don't know where, you know, money is an issue for us right now. You know, we're really not certain. We've got some big bills coming up and we don't know how we're going to pay those bills. And when we're in that position, where else have we got to turn? Where else did Abraham and Sarah have to go for a child? It was impossible, wasn't it? And when their only hope was in the Lord. And now she laughs. She laughs because she sees how God has just done such an amazing thing for them. And that's the position that I would encourage you and I to be in. Trusting and depending on the Lord so we can laugh with him. Like Abraham and Sarah. Because, you know, the alternative is not a very nice one. And I said, my second one point was going to be like this, about laughing at God. So, fast forward a few years, probably about 3.5, Isaac gets weaned, okay? He's off the teat. And they throw a party, a weaning party. That was a pretty big deal because if your child lived long enough to be weaned, they're probably, you know, there's a good chance they were going to make it through. So they throw this party, and what a great party, you know, happy time, Isaac laughing, so on. And the child groom was weaned, verse 8. And verse 9, Sarah saw that the son, oh, we forgot about that. Okay, this is when we weren't trusting in the Lord, okay? This is when we thought we would get a child our way. Sarah saw that the son whom Hagar the Egyptian had born to Abraham was mocking, okay? Literally, he was laughing. Again, same word in the Hebrew language. He was laughing, was mocking, and she said to Abraham, get rid of that slave woman and her son, for that slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with my son. And the matter distressed Abraham greatly because it concerned his son. But God said to him, do not be distressed about the boy. Just think about this from the angle for a moment of Hagar and Ishmael. You know, Ishmael is, I forget now whether he's 14 or 16. I didn't have time to just quickly look that up. But he's an older guy. He's getting to that age where he is at a point of having to make decisions himself and choose where he's going to be, choose where he's going to be with the Lord. And here he is laughing, mocking at Isaac. Now, Moses has told the story like this because it's symbolic of something. Okay, it's symbolic of different ways of viewing the fulfillment of God's promises. Abraham and Sarah received the promise of God. They received the son, and so they laugh. They laugh with the Lord. They laugh at God's greatness and goodness and kindness and his keeping his promises. Ishmael looks, he's looking at the fulfillment of that promise, and he mocks. He laughs at God. And, you know, I think that this is symbolic, isn't it, of the way that opportunities or the way that you and I can respond to the work of God in our lives. And the reality is, folks, that there are times when we laugh and we mock, and sometimes people's response is just to laugh at God, to mock what God is doing, to belittle what God is doing, to despise God's promises and to reject his goodnesses and his word and to reject the promise of that one son that God has sent, his own son. You know, you remember when Jesus was on the cross, people were laughing too, weren't they? The scribes and the Pharisees and these religious leaders, they stood around the cross as Jesus was dying on the cross, and they mocked Jesus. They laughed at Jesus. And so what happens? You know, Sarah is upset, and Abraham is, he's in a stressful position. But what does God say? What does God say? Now, this is kind of surprising, but this is showing us the outworking of God's plan here. But God said to him, verse 12, do not be distressed about the boy and your maidservant. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. And so early the next morning, Abraham took some food and a skin of water, and Ishmael and Hagar have to leave. They have to go. Why? They have to. They're not part of God's promises. They are laughing. They are mocking God, what God is doing. And so they can't be a part of God's promise. They can't be a part of God's plan. And, you know, this represents self-sufficiency and self-confidence and all of these things. And you see how God has the last laugh here, doesn't he? God has the last laugh. Hagar and Ishmael, they have to flee into the desert and they are, perishing. We're told that she has to lay Ishmael down. You know, he's a teenager, and you sort of think, you know, she's not carrying him, but he's a teenager, and, you know, teenagers, I don't know, they tend to need feeding and watering more frequently than adults and have less of that stamina. So Hagar's doing all right, but Ishmael's not. So she has to leave, and she's in this horrible position. She's like, we're going to die. My child is going to die. So she leaves him under a bush, and she goes where she can't hear his crying. And then God comes, doesn't he? God comes into that situation and comes and brings rescue. The angel of the Lord comes. And I find a lot of encouragement in that. Because I think the thing is this. You know, you may have laughed. You may have rejected and despised and scorned the gospel. Or you may know people who have done this, okay? You've been praying for someone. And you've been sharing the gospel with someone, maybe someone you love. And you have attempted in the nicest possible way to talk to them about the Lord Jesus. And they have just said, you know, look, forget it. I'm not interested. It's just, you know, it's just stupid. That's just childish. I can't believe you believe that stuff. You know, I'm not some sort of weakling, some spiritual cripple like you. I can get through life my own way. So don't talk about that to me anymore. Don't keep banging on about God to me. I don't want to hear it. And you're deeply hurt by that. And you fear for them because of their harsh rejection of God. Until they hit a point like this. Until there is nowhere else to go. Until Ishmael is lying under a tree dying of dehydration. And then the Lord comes and rescues him. The Lord comes and delivers him. God has the last laugh. You know, he laughed. Ishmael laughed at the one that Sarah and Abraham were laughing over with joy. He laughed and mocked it. He laughed at the gospel. He laughed at the promise of God. But now God has the last laugh because he is totally desperate and God has to come and rescue him. And so, you know, when you think about those you love and think about those you know, God will have the last laugh. And it's often when we get totally broken down and totally desperate and totally got nowhere else to go that the Lord will come and that the Lord remembers them, those who have rejected him and turned their backs on him. Well, you can either laugh with God. You can laugh at God, but know this, that God is going to have the last laugh. Laughing with God, I believe, is the biblical way to live. It's the way that your life can experience joy and peace. Now, hey, I'm not saying, did I just say to you, if you laugh with God, your life is going to be, you know, one of total uninterrupted happiness and pleasure? An absence of pain and stress and anxiety? No, I didn't say that. I'm sure those things will be there. In fact, you know, that's a promise of the scripture that in this life we will have tribulations. But it's not about what's on the outside, isn't it? It's about our internal condition, the condition of our spirit before the Lord. But when we choose to laugh at God, that's when things go like they did for the lives of Ishmael and Hagar. That's when they go like they did for the lives of Ishmael and Hagar. And you end up totally abandoned, totally without hope, and praying that God will have mercy on you. Well, just be encouraged, folks, that what God has promised you, he will do. And sometimes we need to know more clearly what he has promised. That's why we study the scriptures, to know more clearly what God has promised. Nowhere has he promised you wealth and riches and fame, but what he has promised, he will deliver. He has promised he will never leave you, and he will never forsake you, and he will deliver you at the end. God has promised you that. He has promised you that. He has written that promise. We read at the beginning. He's written that promise in the name of the Lord Jesus. All the promises of God are yes, and they are amen in him. In who? In Jesus. They are promised on the life of his only son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, when we live trusting in the God who promises and depending on him and waiting on him, and even though it may seem a long time, even though it may seem like you're running out of time, you know, you may be thinking of someone you're praying for and it seems like you're running out of time for them. we depend on the promises of God because we don't have anything else to trust in. And as we trust in him, we trust that one day we will laugh with him as well. And so God keeps his promises. And we need to give up our efforts to earn our way to salvation, whatever we think we can do. And in his dealings and in keeping his promises, God is never cruel or unjust. He remembers those who are helpless and those who are cast upon his care. And as I said earlier, all of the promises are fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. All of them meet their fulfillment in him. All of them come to their apex, to their pinnacle in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's good to laugh with the Lord. Don't laugh at him. It's good to laugh with the Lord because he will have the last laugh. Let's pray. Father, Abraham and Sarah, they waited for you for a long time. And I don't know if I could have waited that long. I don't know if I could have hung on that long. And we know that at times they didn't. They tried to make things work out their way. They tried to make things happen in their own time when they thought they should have had a child. And we know that this only brought them pain. And so it is with us, Heavenly Father. We see in our lives that sometimes we try and do things, or we try and force people to believe in you, or force people to turn to you, or we try and pressurize them. And we know that that doesn't work. All we have, Lord, is you. And we depend upon you. We trust in you. And we wait for you, that we may laugh with you, rejoicing at the way that you do come through for us. And you don't abandon us. So I pray, Father, for each one here. Some of us may be really struggling with knowing what it is that you're doing in our lives, or when it is that you will bring that one we love to yourself. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would strengthen our hope, increase our faith, that we may not give up, but that we will depend upon you, just as Sarah and just as Abraham did. Lord, I pray for anyone here who has hardened their heart and laughed at you and laughed at the gospel, and, or those that we know who have laughed against you. And we pray, Lord, that you would soften their hearts and so that they might be brought to a position of seeing you come and bring rescue. Lord, we know that you are kind. We know that you are gracious. We know that you are long-suffering. And through our Lord Jesus Christ, salvation is held out to us each day. And so, Lord, we rest in your promises through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.